Unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. On this Sunday of the Reformation, the title of our message is this: Who Owns Your Vineyard? Based on the Gospel from St. Matthew chapter 21, these verses. Jesus told this parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard, put a wall around it, dug a wine press in it, built a watchtower, rented it out to vine growers, and went on a journey. When the harvest time came, he sent his servants to receive his produce. But the vine growers took his servants, beat one, killed another, and stoned the third. Afterward, he sent his own son to them, saying, "Surely, they will respect my son." But they took his son, cast him out of the vineyard, and killed him. Therefore, when the owner of the vineyard comes, he will bring those wretches to a wretched inn, and he will rent out the vineyard to other vine growers. Again, our title is, Who Owns Your Vineyard? And I invite you to follow the sermon outline provided for you on the handout you received when you arrived this morning. Today, as we said before, is Reformation Sunday, a time for reforming and changing and transformation. And there's an old story about reforming and transformation I'd like to share with you. It seems that there was this man and this woman who lived far away from any big city. They had really never seen skyscrapers or neon lights or some of the other attractions of a big city. They called each other Ma and Pa. They had one son, whom they creatively named Junior. And they decided it was time to take Junior into town to see the big city for the first time. So they loaded up their pickup truck, drove into town. They planned to stay at a swanky hotel and see all the sights. When they pulled up to the hotel, Pa got a little nervous and said, "Ma, you stay here in the pickup truck and Junior and I will check things out. Then we'll come back to get you." When they walked up to the door of the hotel, they stepped on a doormat, and wonder of wonders, the doors automatically opened in front of them. They were incredulous. Never seen such a thing. He did that a few times just to enjoy it. And then they walked in and saw for the first time in their life a large glass chandelier hanging from the ceiling. It was amazing. But then they saw the wonder of wonders. This small little room off to the side. They watched as people walked up to the front doors of this room, and the rooms opened from the middle. People walked inside it. Bells rung, lights flashed, the doors closed. And soon, people walked out, and they looked completely different than the ones who had walked in. Junior read the sign over the door of this room, and he read out loud, "Elevator." They stood transfixed, watching group after group go in the room. Doors closed, lights flashed, bells ring, and coming out looking completely different. Till finally, a 90-year-old lady with a cane walks up to the door all by herself, pushes the button, goes inside. Lights flash, bells ring. Soon the door opens and out walks a fabulously looking 20-year-old blonde. And Pa pauses for a moment and considers all the possibilities of this transforming room. And he yells to his son, "Junior, go get Mama! Go get Mama!" Pa figured it was time for a change, a transformation, a reformation. Which of our lives here today do not need to be changed? Which of our lives here today do not need to be reformed and transformed by God? In today's sermon text from Matthew 21, we see that the vineyard and its tenants needed Reformation. In Jesus' day, the vineyard was the people of Israel and its religious leaders. In Martin Luther's day, the vineyard was the corrupt church of his day and its leaders. Today, the vineyard is our church and each of our personal lives. We'll talk about each of these vineyards this morning. But first, let's return to the parable Jesus told. Come with me, won't you? We'll walk up the many steps to the observation tower, the watchtower built in the middle of the vineyard. From this perch, we can see acres and acres of vineyard, row upon row of grapes. Oh, a future great financial profit. We've done a great job, haven't we? As vine growers, as tenants of this vineyard, for 5 years, we have tended these grapevines. And it's almost time to take the grapes and sell them at market for a great profit. But then we remember the law of ownership. The law states that after 5 years of our labor as tenants, we are to give now 1/3 of the profit back to the owner. We don't want to share such a big profit. We want it all to ourselves. From the tower, we see a servant of the landowner coming. We know why he's come. He's going to tell us how much of the profit we need to pay when we sell the grapes. So we run down the steps of the tower and we kill him. But the next day comes another servant and we stone that one. And finally, a few days later, we look out from the tower and we see the owner's son. We know what he wants. So we kill the owner's son and we figure, aha, now the vineyard is ours. We are in control of the vineyard. As we said earlier, in Jesus' day, the vineyard was a common term for the people of Israel and their religious leaders. They were the vineyard. God was the vineyard owner. But the religious leaders of Jesus' day were rebellious against God. They claimed by word and by deed, we own the vineyard. Ours is the kingdom. We are in control. So in times past, God sent to them his servants, did he not? The Old Testament prophets. And even John the Baptizer. But they would not listen to them. Indeed, these servants, they rejected. They stoned. They killed. Then whom did God send to them? He sent Jesus, his son. By telling this parable to the religious leaders who would one day crucify him, Jesus was foretelling his own death by their hand. But he was also foretelling the coming of the new Christian church, because God would take the vineyard and the kingdom from these people who rejected his son and give it to others who would put their faith in him, to Christians. This is why the parable ends with these verses. The landowner will bring those wretches to a wretched end and rent out the vineyard to other vine growers. In Jesus' day, it was time for a transformation. It was time for a change. It was time for a reformation. In Martin Luther's day, about 1,500 years after Jesus told this parable, the vineyard also needed reforming. The vineyard was the church of Luther's day. And its corrupt leaders. Well, what was going on? The church of Luther's day was in pretty sad shape. Its leaders were corrupt. They continually sought ways and invented ways to get money from their people. Money for extravagant buildings. Money for extravagant popes. They even invented a way to get their people to pay for the forgiveness of their sins. And they called this selling indulgences. People were taught to depend on their own good works instead of God's mercy at the cross of Christ for their salvation. And the teachings of men were elevated over the truths of God's holy word. The issue was, who is in control of the church. The church's leader's answer was, we're in control. It was the same answer given by the tenants of the vineyard. It was the same answer given by the religious leaders of Jesus' day. So in the 1500s, God raised up a special man to address this corruption. Into this bad situation stepped a monk, a pastor, a professor named Martin Luther. He led the reformation of the church, a reformation, a change to turn back and return to the simple truths of God's holy word. This reformation began in 1517, some 494 years ago, when Luther nailed onto the wooden doors of the big cathedral in his hometown a list of 95 complaints, 95 theses. And this reformation, my friends, continues to be needed today. That is why every year on this Sunday, we remember Reformation and Reformation Sunday. But lest this sermon is just an exposition of the story of the parable and a history lesson, the question for today's sermon, the question of today's sermon is also its title. Who owns your vineyard? Come with me once again up the steps of that vineyard tower. What do you see from there? The vineyard is our homes, is our church, is our personal lives. The vineyard is God's kingdom, and God's kingdom is wherever He would rule as we permit Him to do so. But here's the issue we discussed earlier. Who's in control? Who owns your vineyard? There are only two possible answers. You or God. Let's talk about our homes and our personal lives. Is God the Lord of your life? The Lord of your time, your plans, your finances, your future? Or are you? The kingdom of God is wherever He would rule. Who rules your life? Take a look at the direction of your life. At the way you use your time. At the way you use your finances. The basis you use for making plans. How important the Sabbath day and His Word is. Who's in control? Are you heading in God's direction or away from Him? Who owns your vineyard? Let's talk about the church. Let's talk about our church. Upon what basis are decisions and plans made? Upon the opinions of men or the Word of God? Are you, are we seeking to be a light in this world of darkness? Are you seeking to be out once who reaches out into our community with the salvation of Jesus Christ? Are you actively seeking out church families? You know who they are. Or families in our neighborhood, you know who they are, who are hurting and need a touch of God's love that come through your hands and your words and your deeds. Are we seeking every way we can to make this place a welcoming place for everybody in the community? Are we living our lives as God's chosen servants? Or are we complacent and happy simply to come here on a Sunday morning to hear a sermon, sing a song, and eat a cookie? Yes, our congregation and every congregation is in need of a reformation to rededicate our lives back to Him who laid His life down for us to answer the question, who owns the vineyard? And as we come to our Lord in prayer asking this question, it's time to be bold. It's time to ask Him to lead us as a congregation and as individuals into new ventures and new ways of being. For you have heard, haven't you? You've heard of the seven last words of the church. The seven last words spoken before the doors are closed and locked forever. Those seven last words are, "We never tried it that way before." Who owns the vineyard? Who owns the church? Who owns your life? Are you ready for some good news? An owner may be defined as someone who has paid the price for ownership. Who paid the price? Listen to these precious passages of Holy Scripture. They are the good news. They are the Holy Gospel. They are the Word of God upon which the Reformation Church is built. Who paid the price? Give ear. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 20. "For you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God with your body." 1 Corinthians 7:23, "You are bought with a price. Do not become slaves of men." What is the price spoken of? What is the price spoken of? Let's listen to 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9, where it says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sake He became poor, that through His poverty you might become rich." Our Lord paid the price for our salvation. The price was His precious blood. He became poor to the point of death on a cross that we might receive His riches, the forgiveness of sins, the gift of heaven. Who owns the vineyard? Today, on Reformation Sunday, it's time to settle the issue. So come back with me, won't you, one more time. How are your legs doing? You ready to go up the vineyard steps, the steps of the vineyard watchtower one more time? Here we go. We are now on the top of the observation watchtower overlooking the vineyard. But we've come after Easter Sunday. From the heights of the tower, we can see someone who's coming. Who is he? It's the owner's son. Has He come back to give us what we deserve because of our rebellion? He has not. For if we look closer, we'll see the nail prints in His hands. We'll see the look of sincere love in His eyes. He came back to the vineyard. He came back from the grave. He came back for you and for me. And now listen to St. Paul's words, which tell us just why He came back. Romans chapter 5, 6 through 11. "For while we were still helpless, at just the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. God demonstrates His love toward us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And we are saved from the wrath of God through Him. Through Him we are reconciled to God. We were saved by His life." That's the good news. That's the gospel upon which we build our church. That is our Reformation faith. That's the good news that changes us. It reforms us. So not just one Sunday a year, but every day is Reformation Day. Every day is a new chance to know God's love and forgiveness. Every day is an opportunity to return to our Lord and say, "Lord, You are the owner. I am Your vineyard. In the name of Jesus. Amen." We now worship our Lord with his offering.